from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Summer Family and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, July the 4th, 2014. Sharon Mulkey is the speaker of this service teaching on You Are the Gift.
I really am excited to bring this message to you today. When I was praying about what the Lord would have me share with you, I had shared this with our church back home, and it was a blessing to them, and so I hope it will be to you. Just want to do a shout out to my brother in Germany and our home church back in California, and welcome everyone by the internet. Has anyone ever said to you, God has a plan for your life? And ever since that time, you've been looking for it. Thinking, if God show up somewhere, what is God's plan for my life? And many people have run here and run there, and they're looking for God's plan for their life. This was what the Holy Spirit showed me some time ago when I asked the very same question, because someone had told me that. God has a plan for your life. And sometimes when you come into salvation, I was a junior in college, you think, oh my gosh. But today, I want to share with you what the Holy Spirit shared with me on how to find the plan for your life. When in my searches, I had many people offer up many suggestions on what they thought it was. But nothing ever just felt quite right inside. It never settled. Then one day, I heard this still small voice in my mind go, you are the gift. You are the gift. You are the gift. You are the gift. Okay, that sounded interesting. And so I will share with you what the Holy Spirit shared with me about you are the gift. And that is the title of this message. The second message will be called Unwrapping the Gift. But first, we need to establish you are the gift. In Romans 1:11, it says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Why? To the end that you may be established. God has put spiritual gifts, we know, in the body of Christ, and that's so that we can all show off and make name cards that says, I'm the apostle and this and that. Oh, that's not in your Bible? Oh, well, that's good. Because the reason that God has given spiritual gifts is to the end that we may be established, rooted and grounded in sound doctrine. First of all, let's establish what is a gift. A gift is something given to someone without expectation of a return. But let's say a birthday gift. Words that go with gift are bestowal, comp, donation, faring, giveaway, and a lot of other ones that are old English. Present, a presentation. A gift, it says, is something that is given without expectation of a return. You've all heard of the gift with a hook in it, right? Well, we're going to give you this car, but you have to take me to my doctor's appointment or something like this. That's not the kind of gift that we're talking about. A gift also can be something that is given to another person or to a group or an organization. A gift can be a special ability, a notable capacity, a talent, or an endowment. Something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. The act, the right, or power of giving. because that's what Webster's Dictionary says about a gift. To the extent that we do not know what our gift is or our talent, we do not know what we can do, and we don't know who we are. What am I here for? It's one of the very first questions that people sincerely ask themselves. What am I here for? The importance of this message is to let you know that you are the gift. To the extent that you take this in and realize it's you, not so much what you do or anything, but you are the gift. This will affect all of your life in every aspect of your life. We know in Romans 6:23 that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift, here it says, is a favor with which one receives without any merit on his own. The gift of divine grace, gift of faith, knowledge, holiness, virtue. In Isaiah 43:7, it says, for I, meaning God, have created him, or you and me, for my glory. I have formed you and me, yea, I have made him, meaning all of us. Your mother wasn't a monkey. You know, that has a lot of ramifications. If your mother was a monkey, that has a lot of consequences to it. But your mother wasn't a monkey. You were made and created in the image of God. And that's vitally important for Christians to have that established. You are not stardust. That is the latest thing I heard. The Big Bang happened and a star blew up and you're just tiny fragments of stars. You're stardust. Can you imagine telling a kid that? You're stardust? Well, that just makes me feel real secure in this world. This is what people are growing up with and being taught. There's no security in being stardust. It is important that we know without a shadow of a doubt that God created us in His image. No monkey business. No stardust. You know, everybody loves a gift. It's just something that God put in all of us. We all like a gift. What was Jesus Christ? He was God's gift. Right? He was God's gift to the people on earth. So gift giving is pretty important, isn't it? What if God said, I'm not going to give any gifts? No, Jesus Christ has never came then. So if you really want to be like Jesus, then you have to be a gift. You are the gift. You are the gift to the world, just like Jesus Christ. You are eternal. You are indestructible. You will go on forever. Now, these are principles that people are not really taught a lot because everything around us is so temporal and so fleeting, but we forget that. God has a plan for your life. He surely does. The plan is you. You are the plan. The mission is earth. You have been sent down here to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. There is no light in the world except what Christians bring.
That's true.
See, we think because the sun is shining outside that there's a lot of light in the world. And it's kind of deceiving. Because we say, oh, it's sunny and bright out. But if we were to see the world through God's eyes, the only light that you would see in the world is the light that's in you. You are the light of the world. You are indestructible. You will go on forever. You're not reincarnated. You do not come back as a goat or a cow or a spider or your mother-in-law or hey, you know. You are the gift. Ephesians 2:8 says that, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gift is something that is given with no strings attached, that cannot be taken back. Ephesians 3:7 says to minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. We are to minister the gift that has been given to us. 1 Corinthians 7:7 says, every man has his proper gift of God. Nobody was shortchanged. You were created before the foundations of the earth was laid. You realize that? You were created. You were created before any part of the earth was made. Go look it up. It's there. I couldn't believe it either. See, God has a plan. He's had a plan before he even made earth. And the plan for now is you on earth at this time. So minister, by his grace, to everyone around you, what he has put in you. In Ezekiel 46:16, it says, a prince gives a gift to a son, and he has it forever. This is a biblical principle. God is not an Indian giver. What he gives you, he does not take away. Your gifts were put in you. You were born with your gifts, and you will go to eternity with the gift that he put inside you. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Your gift makes a way for you. And I'll share how this is so important if you feel like most days you're beating your head against the wall. Proverbs 25:14. There are those who boast themselves of a false gift, and they are like clouds and wind without rain. False here means a lie, deception, disappointment, betrayal, deceit, falsehood. You probably know of a lot of people that have said they're able to do a lot of things and they can't. There are many. They're not just false prophets. They're everywhere. They're promising you things that will never happen. If you buy this toothpaste, you will have sex appeal. Ecclesiastes 3:13. God's gift is for us to eat and drink and enjoy the good of all our labor. That's God's gift to us. It's not to feel guilty for what you have and what you've worked for, like socialism would tell you.
Yes.
You work hard. You get out of bed every morning. You go to work. You do your job. You get paid. You don't spend your money foolishly. And God says, eat your food, drink your drink, and enjoy life. But socialism says, no, you need to give half of that away to somebody else who didn't want to get up out of bed, who didn't want to go to work. Ecclesiastes 5:19, God's gift. Every man also to whom God has given riches and wealth and the power to eat thereof. You know, Howard Hughes was a billionaire and he couldn't eat any food. I always think of that when I read the scripture. Had all the money in the world, couldn't keep anything down. And to rejoice in your labor, this is the gift of God. God wants you to rejoice and be happy in the gift that he has given you. Well, how do I know what that is? Well, look at that. 1 Timothy 4:14-15 says, neglect not the gift that is within thee. Boy, that's just kind of nailing it down real good, isn't it? Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Are you sweating a little bit now? Oh my gosh. If I don't know what it is, how can I know if I'm neglecting it or not? 2 Timothy gets up even worse. 1:6, stir up the gift of God that is within you. James 1:17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. 1 Peter 4:10-11, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And we know that God has put in us a gift for the perfecting and equipping of the saints, Ephesians 4:12. That's a clue right there. Your gift is for the perfecting and the equipping of the saints. Not to be famous. Not to strut like a rooster. It's to help others. And isn't that God's nature? Ephesians 4:7 and 8 says, God gave gifts unto men and women, all human individuals. He gave gifts unto all men, it says. And this is the scary part. This is where the flames of hell are coming up now in Revelation 13:13. And when you die, your works do follow you. if you don't know the gift that God has put in you or what He has created you to do, you're still going to give an account to Him if you did it. Do you see the importance of this? You have got to know, because you're going to give an account one day. Our gifts are, here's another clue, our gifts are to benefit the whole body, and our gifts are to benefit mankind. When we do not know or search out what the gift in us is, the whole body suffers malnutrition. Because it says the body is fit together joint by joint. It's just like me. If my arm didn't know it was an arm, and the other arm didn't know it was an arm, well, I better hope I can feed myself with my feet. That's a visual example of the church today. Nobody knows who they are or what they're to do. Every person has a job to do. God has a plan for you, otherwise you wouldn't be here. The odds of you even being born are astronomical.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And in times of persecution, we are all going to need the gifts that God has put Amen. Into us to Amen. Minister to the body of Christ.
Amen.
And if you don't find out what your gift is, other people are going to suffer for your negligence.
That's right.
And in medical terms, that's called malpractice. At some point, everyone has to decide, what's my life going to be about? Is it about partying or popularity or making a name for myself? What if your life could go beyond ordinary and become something amazing, like making a real difference in the lives of the people around you? We are all created unto good works, it says in Ephesians. Every life makes a difference. Every life makes a difference. One of the first things you're going to hear the enemy say is, what you do doesn't matter, it won't amount to anything. That's what the devil says. Here's something that I don't know if you've thought about it quite this way. You are what you love, not the people that love you. You are what you love. And this is the secret. Many people have laid down what they'd love to do a long time ago. Why? Who you are is partly what you love. We have been indoctrinated with the belief systems of the world. The school system today is designed to make you robots. Since the 30s, and with Pavlov and all of his dogs, which you've probably all learned in school, ring the bell, feed the dog, well, they've been doing that to you your whole life, doggies. Ring the bell, salivate, feed the dog. That is how our educational system is training children, like animals. Stimulus, response. Stimulus, response. And it's reinforced in the world over and over. The school system has no interest in developing you individually and the gifts that God put into you. People have believed a lie. You have believed that you are what people have told you you are. Because when you're little, you believe your parents, you believe your teachers, they're big people. This belief system has stolen, destroyed, and robbed you from developing your gift or you even knowing you have one. How many of you even know you have one? Whether you're a Christian or not, you have one. God put something inside of everyone. We're the light of the world, the salt of the earth. One of our gifts and what God put in us is to bring light to the world. Because Jesus lives in us. You know, do you have a light just in your bathroom that you turn on maybe at night? Well, what about the living room, the kitchen, the basement, the garage? Christians shouldn't clump. The light is needed everywhere in the world. The gift that God has put into you places you somewhere in the world. Did you hear what I said? In the world. There's this false teaching going around that you've got to work for some religious company. Well, if I'm not a pastor or I'm not a song leader, then God doesn't have anything for me. That is a false demonic doctrine, people. Why would the Bible say you are the light of the world if you're only supposed to be in church? You are the light of the church. Where you are today, you are the light. Your job. You are the light at your job. We're to light the whole world. I want you to renounce that false belief if someone has tried to tell you that you're only serving God. Usually like that too. God. Listen to that long, oh God. If you're working in church, every job is from God. Every job is from God. And if you're there, you're right where you're supposed to be. Religious spirits are some of the worst culprits. When a person gets saved, the religious spirits come and start talking. Well, you really think you should be working for this company? They're not very Christian around here. And, oh, they cut to do all this stuff. Salt is a preservative, right? Salt is a disinfectant, right? Where do you put salt? On meat so it doesn't rot and decay and disinfectant. Well, if you got a good, if you're in a workforce that does a lot of cutting, they need a lot of disinfectant. And you're it. My husband has a testimony of how he would go to work. Kind of like in one of those places, he had a foreman that just, boy, there was a blue streak followed him of customers wherever he went. Well, finally one day he went to his boss and said, I can't work with Monty anymore. His boss goes, well, why not? So he finally confessed, because I can't cuss around him. Now, Monty has said nothing to this man. You don't have to say anything at work.
Right.
And a lot of times, if you're trying to witness at work, you're out of place.
That's right.
You are out of place.
That's right. Exactly right. Come on.
Your presence is enough.
That's right.
I have said nothing to anybody at my job, but they all know I'm a Christian. How did that happen? I don't have little Jesus stickers in my room and all this kind of stuff. All of that is just religious trappings. God has you right where He wants you to be. And when He wants you to move, you'll either get fired or something will happen, or another, a better job will come along and you'll take that one. A little bit goes a long way. I'm the only one here that my job is a Christian. That's right. That's all we need is one grain of salt. We don't need pumping salt. We don't need 40 light bulbs in one room. Did you know that there is no life without salt? So our bodies and plants and the whole earth is made up of pretty simple sodium and chloride and potassium and ice things. You take out the salt and they're dead. You're dead. You're the salt of the world. You sustain life. You're a lifesaver. You are life savers. You are life preservers. Salt creates thirst. Salt makes your body have homeostasis, and what that means is that everything runs evenly. If it gets out of balance, you die. Maybe that's why some churches are dead. They're out of balance with the salt. You know, you get a piece of meat on it or anything, even a good piece of watermelon with too much salt, and it's like, you know, there's 7 billion people in the world, and the world is full of problems. You have God, the Creator, living inside of you. I bet you didn't realize that one of your gifts is you problem solving. You probably do it in more ways than you don't even realize. One of the hard things about identifying the gift that is within you is because it's so natural. How many times did you breathe in the last 5 minutes? Anybody tell me? Did anybody count how many breaths it took in the last 5 minutes? No, that's how your gift works. It's like breathing, people. You do it so automatically, you don't even know it's a gift. And that's why it's good when you have your friends and stuff. And I was with a group of girls a while back, and we just started talking about it. and we started talking about what we saw in the other person. We were all surprised. Like, really? Other people see your gifts. You probably don't because it works through you so natural. You see, the church has done many a disfavor by saying the only gifts there are the ones that are mentioned in the Bible. Well, okay, let's take that to its conclusion. If all the works that Jesus did could not be contained in all the books, okay. You see how silly some of these things are? I mean, if the Bible says there's a verse that says Jesus did so many things, they couldn't even record them in all the books if they wrote them down. Your gift is just not one of those limited things that's listed there. You have all of those anyway. That comes with the package of being saved. You have all the gifts of the Spirit when you're saved because why? Jesus Christ lives in you, and as a certain gift is needed, he moves through you to administer it. Let's put it this way. I am on an island, and it's just me and Carla. Well, I ate some rotten fish that finally washed up the shore, and I am sick as a dog. Now, Carla comes over to me and goes, I would just love to pray for you, but I have the gift of health and administration.
I need somebody to lay hands on me and say, be healed in Jesus' name.
That's the silliness in the church of I only have one gift. Well, God forbid you're on an island with somebody else.
You too.
And you need a gift that's not on the island. And don't worry about being voted off. Do you see the silliness of those people? It's because they don't realize when Jesus Christ lives in you, you're just a vessel. This person here, haven't told me too much. This person here may need healing. This person here needs a word of encouragement or a word of wisdom. Or, you know what? Whatever the person in front of you needs, give it to them. In Jesus Christ's name. Don't get all caught up in, well, I just have to get to that. Or I just have to get to this. Okay, that's the spiritual part. Now, getting back to the human part of it, you have abilities that God has given you. And they are very recognizable if you will look at them as children. My daughter was born with a crayon. I'm serious. From the minute she could get a hold of anything, she was writing all over the wall. In fact, our house, we still have, she's painted, you know, beautiful, and is at one of her bedrooms. From a child, I knew she was an artist, and she is to this day. My other son could build anything out of Lego. Kept getting, you know, reports from school, resourceful, this and that. He's an engineer. Well, that kind of runs in the German background, engineering. Now, my other son can make anything brown turn green. He is a natural born farmer. It's innate. It just comes out of him. It's the same thing in you. I had a little bit more problem because I was not allowed to play when I was little. Work. Good alcoholic family. All we did was work. And we're farmers on top of that, so you know the work is never done there. And they taught school. So when God started working on me and trying to show me my gifts, it's like I was at a loss. I mean, I knew I was a nurse. Okay, well, let's start there. Medicine runs in our family. Do not be surprised with the gifts that you have run in your family. Some gifts run in nationalities. They're good cooks. They, you know, different nationalities have developed different skills. That may give you some clues into what you're good at. But one of the best things to do is try to remember back as a child, what did I like to do? What did I like to play? If you were never allowed to play, you're going to have to start playing to discover it. Oh my God, look at that. I'm not doing CPR on anybody here now, so just don't have an heart attack on me. I'm off duty. No. You're telling me half German play. That just doesn't compute in most computers. Germans don't play.
But he said, Sharon, I want you to start doing what you like to do. Okay. What was that? I mean, I have work all the time. So it was a struggle for me. It may be a struggle for some of you, too. Because play is the work of children. Play is where you use your imagination. But a lot of your abilities and the direction that God would take your life manifests as a child. Because why? The gift is in the child when it's born. So I did. It was slow starting, kind of like an old truck. I didn't work, and went on from there. But slowly by slowly, I started gardening, planting flowers, and that's my creative outlet. I like to do other things too. I like to research. It's amazing how a whole other world opened up to me. You know, you're going to have courage to do this. It sounds so simple to do, but did you know that what is so simple to do is so simple not to do? That's why I wanted to stress to you the high cost of not knowing the gift that God put in you, because that's all you're going to be accountable for. God's going to say, what did you do with your life? What is your gift, and what did you do with it? The man with the talent. Well, I buried mine in the backyard. Okay. That sure got in a lot of places, didn't it? This will go with you for eternity, people. This is eternal consequences. The cost is too high not to find out what the gift inside you is and start using it.
Amen.
And that's when you're being God's glory. Not doing a bunch of religious works. No. When you do what God has put inside you to do, here's what happens. Most people fight sin backwards. You go to church. Don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do this. Well, that is really, kids hear that all the time at home, so they just tune out of church. God says, do this. Be this. Do. Be. God is not a negative God. Here's what happens. And I have my experience to tell you this. When you start being who God created you to be, you're going to have a real joy come into you. You're going to see envy, lust, jealousy, comparison, and covetousness fade away. It's unbelievable. You don't even think those kind of thoughts anymore. You're not competitive because you're focused on developing your life. You're not covetous. People that are doing what they love to give it away. They love to give it away. They love to share it. I love sharing what God gives me. So he just keeps giving me more. I share it. He gives me more. I share it. The fruits of being and living the gift inside you brings contentment. Nothing else will make you content. Money doesn't bring contentment. The corner office doesn't bring contentment. It can only bring contentment if you're using your gift and that's where God has placed you. You will have a restless spirit inside of you manifesting as anxiety, as nervousness. I just can't settle down. I can't focus. I go from one thing to the next. But when you start doing what God has created you to do, time passes and it's like at home. It's like, oh my gosh, it's hours later, I didn't even notice the time. That's important, people, because there is no time in heaven.
That's right.
Only eternity. Time was created on earth.
That's right.
And that's a whole other message about time and how it's made of slaves. God said work from sun up to sun down. God created the times and the seasons. God did not create the days, the minutes, the hours that we have all become slaves to.
Right.
Church is 45 minutes, and if you talk past that, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
That's another message. I'll bring that later. But true contentment, I'm trying to give you points that you can write down to help you identify as you're moving into what your gift is. It will bring you peace. First with yourself, and then with others.
The contention, the strife, the backbiting, it just goes. Because you're at peace doing what you're doing. And you're actually becoming who you're to be. You will have real joy. There were times I had broken my health because I was director of a lot of long-term care facilities. And I'd broken my health, and the way that I started getting my health done was by playing in the garden, you know, after I figured out what all that stuff was about. I could feel waves coming over me as I was out playing. God was healing my nervous system from all the damage that I'd done working these high-pressure jobs for so many years. I'm not sure I was even supposed to do those. Just because you can do a job doesn't mean you're supposed to. And that's a real trap for people. Well, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. But are you supposed to? Is that what you're supposed to be doing? You will become very generous. So you don't have to worry about covetousness and stingy and all of that. Here's a real one. You'll love this. You probably won't die of a heart attack, which more and more people are, younger and younger. I see it in my ER all the time, especially young men in their 50s, now it's going down to the 40s, coming in, dying, dropping dead of heart attacks. And women aren't far behind them because of the stress. Whenever we're going counter to what God has created us to do, it puts a stress on our body.
Amen.
When you're peaceful, when you're content, you have no strife, you're not covetousness, you're not bullying, and you're not complaining because you don't have a big house like the neighbors, your body doesn't secrete all the toxins that go to work to destroy your body. Here's another one that's awesome. You're going to really start to like yourself. And when you start to like yourself, you're going to start to like other people too. Just the way they are. If you're griping about your wife or you're griping about your husband, you better you're not doing what God called you to do. All you're doing is griping. And you're teaching your kids real good things, aren't you? Self-acceptance is one of the hardest things for people to get way down deep inside them. With all our warts and all of our funny looks and all of this, God loves us and we're to love us too. Self-hatred and self-rejection is a huge spirit, and it is fed by the world because the world says you gotta be beautiful, you gotta have a high IQ and be an athlete, and then we accept you. The world is very narrow in its definition of who it likes and it rewards. The fruits of the spirit just naturally go when you're doing what God wants you to do. You never hear a fruit going, I'm broken. Well, that's how most Christians live. I'm going to be nice today. I'm not going to yell at the kid. I won't. Well, that lasts about 30 seconds, right? See, because life is backwards. As you're doing what God has created you to do, the fruit of the Spirit just grows and grows and grows in your life naturally. You don't hear any fruit growing in the orchard. One thing that happens, the Bible says, that they will know we are Christians by our... No, it's the car we drive and the suit we wear. That's what some people preach. How much money is your bank account, right? No. The real Bible says that you will know that people will know we are Christians by our love one for another and with a pure heart. You will never do that until you start doing what God created you to do. Then you will start loving people with a pure heart. It just comes. It flows. There's no working at it. It just comes. See, God's life is easy. He says, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. If your Christian life is burdensome and heavy, something's not right. Giving and sharing become an automatic response instead of being greedy and covetousness. You know, the nature of a gift is to give it away, right? It's not a gift if you keep it. I
it's only a gift when you give it away. You are the gift giver to the world. And what God has put inside you is to be given away. And give and it shall be given unto you. It's a cycle that you will never get out of. And it's wonderful. And what do you get? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, contentment. But you just keep kicking against the pricks and see how that feels. One of the things that people need to understand is there's always enough in God's kingdom. There's no running out. In the next message, we're going to go into what has really hindered people from finding out what their gift is and the demonic blockages. But I want you to know a principle that God never runs out. The world tells you there's a shortage of oil, there's a shortage of this, there's a shortage of that. The whole world has lived that way. They were so worried when they quit doing the whales because how are we going to light our kerosene lamps? The world was in a tizzy. Well, we laugh at that now, right? Well, we're in the same place. The world keeps doing that to us all the time to motivate us with fear and just little rat traps that they want us to run down. God never runs out. There's not a water shortage in the world. In fact, there's a layer of water under the crust that's incredible. There's more oil in Alaska than in all Saudi Arabia. There's no running out with God. There's no running out with God. God never runs out. Do you think that in his plan, he didn't plan far enough ahead? Oh, by the year 2015, we're going to be out of water. Oh, boy. That is not our God.
No, that's right.
And I'm telling you, we've had eggs multiply in our refrigerator. We've had a crock pot that never got, it was always half full no matter how many people ate out of it.
Yeah.
Pastor Wynn was at a conference. He's not a little man. So he has big glasses of water, right? And we have a little pitcher. So we ran and got the, filled up the little pitcher, that's all we could find, filled up his big glass 3 or 4 times. Well, how do you do that? That's the God we serve, people. I had a pair of shoes that would never wear out because I read that the Israelis walked in the desert and their shoes never wore out. So I thought, okay, that sounds good, Lord. That's great. Well, until I wanted a new pair of shoes. And these shoes never wore out. So I just... I love the dog.
Hell yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's... blame it on the dog, right?
Yeah.
But we serve a God that doesn't run out. Did you know that you get smarter when you use your gift? Your IQ grows when you use your gift. You get healthier when you do who you are. That's basically what it is. You do who you are. And remember, it's so natural, it's like breathing, you don't know what it is. Yeah. But you're going to research it out because you're not going to get caught with your shorts down in front of God going, I don't know. You're not going to be a California Valley girl. I don't know. With all of heaven watching, I don't know what my gift is. And they're all going to go, yeah, it's your church message. You're accountable now. Did you know that God needs you to solve unsolvable problems? Because the world can't. Only God is the creator. How many ideas has he just dropped into people's brains? And they're now Fortune 500 companies. Like the one. Pick people up, instead of the taxi service, start your own company where you have people use their own cars, their own gas, their own tires, to go pick people up, like taxi would. Well, this guy is so successful that they're trying to shut him down. Because all the taxis are going out of business. Could they get it cheaper and better and smarter? Yeah. Now, think of that idea. Hey, you're laying in bed and you're saying, God, give me an idea. God, give me an idea. Go bake some cookies. God, I want an idea. My husband won't give me any money. I want an idea. Go bake some cookies. God never listens to me. He never talks to me. Go bake some cookies. Mrs. Fields, go make some cookies. Here's another one. God, we're short of money. I don't know what to do.
My husband got laid off from work. What should we do? What should we do? Put scripture on TV. Oh, I find you religious spirit. That's so corny. It's too corny. They're a big thriving company now. Christian TV. They have little scriptures on TV. I'm telling you. God wants us to solve problems for the betterment of mankind. I thank God for the day when Fleming found out about penicillin. We grow it sometimes in the refrigerator too. It starts as mold. That's what I tell the kids. We're growing penicillin. No. But all of the things that have been invented because one person, it always goes back to one person, people. I don't care if IBM and all of them say that they came out with these wonderful products. It was generally one person's idea. The think tank usually has one person that has the idea. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of it went back to that was the Christian in the group that had the better way to do something. In your own life, whether you're at home or work or wherever, you probably just naturally think, well, I can do this differently. See, a lot of us just think that those are a lot of our own thoughts, when really it's the Holy Spirit talking to us, saying, well, try to work it this way. Why don't you try organize it this way? The world needs you. It is sick and dying. And because the church has lost its primary focus, and they're off in la-la land with so many counterfeit things, they quit the business of fighting the good fight, finding the devil, casting out demons, and building the people. They just want to build a big church so that people know about them. They don't want to build the people. Don't go to a church if all they want is your money. Go to the church that wants your life to get better, where the pastor and his wife will sacrifice for your life to get better. You don't sacrifice your life for the pastor and his wife. That's wrong, people. That is wrong. That is robbing the sheep, that's fleecing the sheep from every other thing.
Right.
The pastor and his wife are there to teach and instruct and equip you to live the life God created you to live. The world has taken the educational process from where our gifts and talents are identified and nurtured and developed to bless you individually and the world to just stimulus response and the creation of a slave, mindless state. Push a button, push a button, push a button. I mean, even in nursing, it has gotten so ridiculous. No thinking. Just respond to the propagandized stimulus. And that's why most people cannot function in the world today unless it's stimulus response, stimulus response. Technology reinforces that. You're going to have to decide that this is worth your time. You do not want to get to heaven and your bank account is zero. And that's what's going to happen. If you do not seriously contend with this, Lord, what did you create me to do? In our church, we all, at different times, we go and we get along with God. We leave our house, we go somewhere where there's no distractions, and we spend time with God. And God does what only God can do. And we all know that God is God. That is missing in the church today. Nobody can put down a cell phone. And they say, can't turn off the TV, but it's even worse than that. It's these cell phones that have everything on them now. They've got the internet. They've got everything. Pretty soon they're going to shine your shoes. Brush your teeth. Yeah. It is imperative. And Jesus Christ is our example here. He went alone and spent time with his Father. If you want to be like Jesus, you better start doing what Jesus did, right? What would Jesus do? He went and spent time alone. And he left his cell phone with you. Who dropped it in the lake as he sunk to the bottom. This is your adventure, people.
Your life doesn't have to be boring or monotonous one more day. You can have the wonderful aggravation and frustration of finding out who you really are. In the next message, we'll go deeper into the blockages of why it's so difficult for us. Because Satan, for sure, does not want you to be who God made you to be. No, he wants you to be a robot slave for him. You may go to church every Sunday, but you're still a robot. Because you're doing everything the world has told you to do. You need to spend time alone with God. Oh, I'm telling you, it was like pulling chicken's teeth, and chicken don't have teeth. So that's how hard it was to get some people to go away with God. Well, what's he going to say? Maybe he won't say anything. Is he going to be mad at me? Some of the people in our church needed so much deliverance just to be able to go away with God. You want to fight the good fight. It starts inside you, people. The problems are inside us. Don't worry about the world. If you start getting your life right, you will have an effect upon the world. But if you don't, you're going to be just like the world. And that's why the church and the world have the same statistics. That's why there's no young people in church. It's boring. It is. They hear the same gobbledygook all the time. They're not told, come on, you've got to develop your gift, take responsibility, let's find out what you're good at, let's start doing that, start fighting the demons that are fighting you on that. Some people have lived their whole life living someone else's life. They've done what their mother and father wanted them to do their whole life. Even though inside that's not what they wanted. I have met more doctors who hate being doctors. But their family were all doctors. And you're going to be a doctor. Some cultures, you can only be a lawyer or a doctor or a banker. Christianity, it seems like if you're a woman, you can only be at home having babies. The church has put on a lot of demonic restrictions on people. We're going to kill a lot of those sacred cows next time. So get ready. Bring your butcher knife. Because it is stealing your life. It is stealing your joy, your happiness, your contentment. That's what it's stealing. Whether it's in a church or in the world, the fruit of doing what you were created to do. And I have experienced this in my own life. I am healthier. I am happier, more joyful. I have contentment. You just don't know how discontent you are until you get rid of it. You just don't know how nervous you are until you don't have it anymore. You just don't know how much mind racing you have till all of a sudden your mind is quiet. You just don't know how bitter and angry you are until you start getting rid of it. God is here to do that for us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God wants to take off the demonic yokes off of your neck that have been weighing you down and dragging you down and making you slaves to others' expectations, whether you're a boy or a girl. Boy, that just divides people up right away. Oh, people hate it when we tell them that it's a straight line with God. Just like eternity. Everybody wants to do the up and down thing. Because then I can be over you. I can put my foot on your neck. Nobody likes to be told, no, you're no better than anybody else. Especially when they feel like they are. Everything's a straight line with God. Everything is a straight line with God. The only person up here is God. And the church hates that. Because men want to have superiority over women. You're deceived. That's an archetype. You won't even go into that. Stay quiet out there. Good. It just shows that I'm going to rattle some chains here. Because it's costing you eternity. When you get to eternity, you're going to find out just how much you didn't send ahead or have up there, and you were robbed by church doctrine, false worldly doctrine. And there's going to be no excuses in heaven. You're not going to stand before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings and go, well, my husband said I couldn't do that. What did I create you to do? My pastor said you couldn't do that. What did I create you to do? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There will be no excuses. There will be no playing church in heaven. There will be total responsibility and taking responsibility for your life. You're responsible for your life, and nobody will account for your life but you. There will be no excuses. Your job is to find out what God puts you on this earth to do and do it with all your might. And in doing that, you're going to be joyful, healthy, get along with people, giving, loving. Wow, can't beat that, can you? You want to try the church's way? Or the world's way? Stingy, greedy, comparison, backbiting, gossiping. That's the fruit of demonic teachings. Cliques. Hierarchy. I'm special, you're not. There are no excuses. Doesn't matter whether you were born. I always use this one, Leonardo da Vinci. Now, how in the world could he ever come up with anything? He didn't have baby Mozart to listen to. Didn't go to the special preschools. And didn't have all these fancy toys to stimulate him. How did he do that? What do you know? How did he do that? It just goes to show you the world has sold you a bill of goods. Everything that you need has already been put inside you to develop your gift. Leonardo, all he needed on the outside was a pencil and a piece of paper. There's no reason for you not to start developing your gift, especially here in America. In other countries, women can't come out from underneath a black veil. There's no excuse, people. You are the gift to the world. That is an awesome responsibility and privilege. You were chosen before the world was made to be saved and redeemed. Do you know how special and unique that makes you? You're not nobodies. Don't be intimidated by all these airheads out there.
Oh, there is no God.
You just say, you fool.
Well, the fool is that there's no God.
Don't not be intimidated by all the airheads out there. Know the truth and stick with it. I'm going to be teaching again on Sunday. I'm giving you a warning. And I lose courage into all of this. But between now and then, I want you to list down the things that you really like to do. And don't show that list to anybody, because you might have a fear of being criticized or challenged. It's your list. You write down what you really like to do, or what you really like to do as a kid. Before you got lost in the robot maze of the world, and before you had to start punching a time clock for the devil, what do you really like to do? That is your question, and you need to answer that. Because your life is going to amount to nothing, people. You're going to be playing religious games, running around. Like God said, it's the do not kid yourself day. It's do not kid yourself day. You need to know what you were created to do. And it's not one of the just spiritual gifts. Everybody has that. Nobody's special in that area.
But the biggest problem is the obvious to this.
Baloney! You have it all. Whatever you need it. Whatever the person in front of you needs, that's what you give them. Isn't that what Jesus Christ did?
Yeah.
The woman at the well. He gave her what she needed. The lame man. Jesus gave what he needed. He wasn't trying to give water to the lame man and tell the woman at the well to rise up and walk. Right? It's whatever people need. The world needs Christians that will have that flowing out of them wherever they are at to preserve the world and to be the light of the world so that others can see the way. You can't be lazy. The rewards are indescribable, people. It is so rewarding. You won't have to sit there and worry about being covetous or greedy or this. You will have real joy. You will have real care for others. You will be the Bible. You will be the Bible, and you're probably the only Bible a lot of people will read. Just like the stars. The zodiac, the demons, the devil took over the stars and said, oh, it's only the zodiac. Did you know that the stars tell the whole story of Jesus Christ's redemption? And how he gave himself for us, and he's coming back again. How many Christians have quit studying the stars because, oh, it's the zodiac? Well, at some point, everyone has to decide, what's my life going to be about? Is it going to be about playing church?
lying to myself, self-deceiving. They're going to be about doing things another day that don't make me happy. The biggest obstacles to you finding out about your life is those you live with, because they like what you do for them. They like what you do for them. It's been totally perverted. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. That has been so perverted, it's despicable. You are to develop your life. It's sad that you didn't have parents back then that recognized your gifts and talents and nurtured them and helped you to develop them. So by the time you're a teenager, you're actually doing that. But you have to start now. And it's never too late. And you have all eternity. Because the gifts and talents that are inside you, God is going to use for eternity. They never go away. They're indestructible. They're eternal. Just like you are indestructible and you are eternal. You will never die and your gift never dies. Because you are the gift. And God is going to use those in eternity. You're not going to be sitting around playing harps. Put on your gong. Everybody says they want to rule and reign with Christ. You know, just kids said. No, they don't. No, they don't, because they don't even want to conquer what's inside of them. They can't even conquer what's inside them, and they think that God's going to let them rule and reign over worlds when they can't even come against the demons that are inside them and start taking them captive. Your primary concern in this life is to get your life cleaned up and to do what God's called you to do. And that makes the most giving, loving, caring person, not a selfish person, like this collective good does. That's the socialism being taught to all you kids out there now. Socialism, for the greater good, for the greater good, does nobody good. You all are reduced to slaves. The world needs you and what God put in you. And that's the bottom line, people. Now go do it. That's it. Right. Well, Father, in Jesus Christ's name, I just thank you for these people that want all that you have for their life. Thank you, Lord, that these people even recognize that they have a need for more of you in their life. Thank you. Bless them. Encourage them today. Strengthen them. And Father, now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just take authority over the spirits that are working in their life to stop, to hinder, and delay, and to hide their gifts from them now in Jesus Christ's name. I command these spirits to start lifting off of the people now in Jesus Christ. Come on, doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. Well, I don't even think I have a gift. I don't even know I have a gift. Come on, let's go. Doubt and unbelief. All of those spirits of doubt and unbelief that have attached themselves to religious spirits, come out right now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on. All of the belief systems of the world, come out right now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, go, 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 go. Mindless. Come on. Just thinking robotically. Let's go right now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, every one of you. All those things on your mind that have even blocked what you like to do, what you want to do, come on, I command you to go. And all the excuses that come up in your mind, come out now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, all the excuses. Come on, I'm too old. Oh, brother. Well, we shot that one out of the bucket, didn't we? If you and your gift go to eternity, you're never too old. You are never too old. So come out now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, all these excuses come out right now in Jesus' name. Come on, excuses. Excuses, worthlessness. Come on, unworthiness. Come on, all of these things that are in your life now that are working and just trying to discourage you. Life is hard. Life is laborious. Well, of course it is. You're not doing anything fun. And usually what's fun is you like to do, and that's part of your gift. That's in you. Come on, let's go. Come on, go. Push them, push them, push them. Come on. All you spirits of all work and no play, come out right now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on. What, you're an adult. You better just act like an adult. Come on, let's go. Come on. All work and no play. Come out now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on. Loose them. Come on. Let's go. Every one of your spirits that are hindering and holding the people back now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on. All the shackles, all the chains, the fetters on the mind, the will. Come on. Every one of you go right now in Jesus' name. All the arrested development. Come on. All the arrested development. Let's go. Come on. Rebellion. All the rebellion that
that's blocking you from doing what God would have you to do.
Well, why? The devil's going to do that.
I'll never let you. Come on, all of that. Come out now in Jesus' name. A childish self-will. Get off of the gateway to maturity now in Jesus' name. Childish self-will. Go right now in Jesus' name. Father, I also ask that you would deliver the people of a crushed spirit, of them just being crushed down. Come on, as kids when they did things or they created things and their parents never acknowledged them, they never said, oh, that's a good painting or anything. Come on, all of that crushed spirit, get out right now in Jesus' name. All of that crushing you down and crushing you down, all that criticalness that came against you. Come on, all of that critical, just being sliced and diced by a critical tongue with your mother, your father, whatever. Come on, go, go, go. Come on, come on. Father, in Jesus' name, I use your ministering angels of comfort to go and comfort the people where they have been wounded and heal the wounds that came in when they tried to express who they really were and they were criticized, they were shot down and just made fun of. Come on, come off of the people now in Jesus' name. And Father, heal those deep, deep wounds, that wounded spirit that's in there. Come on, you were made fun of. You said, oh, you're never going to do that. You expressed that you wanted to do something or be something when you were little and you just made fun of. Now get out right now in Jesus Christ's name. Go. I command all you spirits to lift off the people now. Come on, every one of you. I command you to go. Push them, angels. Push them. Come on, every one of you. Go. Go, go. Hopelessness. Helplessness. Come on. Let's go. Come on, every one of you. Come on. Well, God can't use me. God can't use me. Well, I'm sorry, if you're living and breathing, you're going to be used. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. Right now, in Jesus' name. Come on. All of that. All of that. All the pessimism. Being a pessimist. Come out right now, in Jesus' name. Come on. The God will not have you. Come out right now, in Jesus Christ's name. Come on. No hope for the future. No hope for the future. Just doom and gloom and all of this stuff that has just weighed you down and said, well, it's no use trying anything new anyway. No, it's too late. We're going to go to hell. We're all going to be raptured, which is a total lie. Come on, let's go right now in Jesus Christ's name. Push them, push them, push them. Come on. Push them out. Come on, angels. Push them out. Let the people go free. Encourage the people. Minister to the people. Speak to the people. And Father, now in Jesus' name, I loose an angel to every person to go and stir up the gift that is within them now in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, if you have to, give them dreams about what their gift is and what they're good at. Lord, send people into their life to help them identify what their gifts are. I use angels to go and to help you and to minister to you. In Jesus' name, in this area, all the blockages, missed opportunity, blocked opportunity, come off of the people now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on, everyone of you know all the false beliefs, Darwinism, all the things about this, that they teach you in school. Go, go, come on. Learn helplessness. Go right now in Jesus' name. Learn helplessness. Come on, let's go. Come on. Fatalism. Oh, what will be, we all sing that song like, hey, throw, throw. That's why I don't sing for a living. I do. Let's go. Come on, let's go. Push him, push him, push him. Come on. Let's go right now in Jesus' name. Come on. What will be, fatalism. Oh, it's my thing. Come on. Go right now in Jesus Christ's name. Push him, angels. Push him out. I just loosen to you hope and encouragement. I loosen to you an adventurous spirit that you can go forth and have an adventure. This is the adventure of your life in Jesus Christ's name. I loosen the spirit of the victor and the overcomer in you now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on. Angels, keep pulling out the demons now in Jesus' name. No rest for the wicked. No rest, no rest. Come on, all restlessness. Come out of the people now in Jesus' name. Hidden anxieties and all the mind racing in the mind. Come out now in Jesus Christ's name. All the spirits of intimidation. You have been intimidated out of doing what you like to do. Come on. Intimidation. Go right now in Jesus' name. Come on. Intimidation. Condemnation. The fear of being condemned. Fear of not fitting in. The fear of not fitting in. Come out right now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on. Come on. Come on. People will laugh at me. People will do it. Come out now in Jesus Christ's name. Go, 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 go. Come on. All the excuses. Come on. I'm from the wrong country. I'm from the wrong side of the tracks. There is no excuses. Out now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on. Excuses. Out now in Jesus Christ's name. Come on. Let's go. Right now in Jesus' name. Come on. Every one of you. I use joy to you. Joy unspeakable. And Father, I just ask that you light their way in their journey now in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www. LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.